Welcome to Definitely Something About Football.
I'm Jay Hump.
And this is Rob. And here we are.
Yeah, we're back.
Pre-Super Bowl week.
Yep, just in time for the Pro Bowl, which no one cares about, so.
But the Pro Bowl skills competition. Did you see that last night?
I haven't seen very much of it, but I've heard about it.
I had so much fun watching this thing. Like, the Alvin Kamara, holy cow, he was amazing. He had the 40-yard dash in it.
Oh, yeah?
He really didn't even need to go that fast, because his team was way ahead already. So much fun.
Like, the only thing I watched was the Keenan Allen best hands competition.
Oh, yeah, Keenan Allen. Poor Keenan Allen. He was doing so good before the one-handed catch.
Man. He was like, I catch balls with two hands, man. What do you want me to do?
He was proper form.
Plus, Alex Smith was throwing the ball to him, so I'm sure that didn't help.
And Michael Thomas, he was pretty great. Did you see him?
I did not see him.
Oh, he almost won the best hands thing, but he missed the final one.
Diving
one. And if you miss that one, you're pretty much done.
He's not much of a diver.
Yeah. the dodgeball, super fun. I don't know if you saw that at all.
No, I didn't get a chance to watch any of the Pro Bowl skill stuff.
Jarvis Landry, superstar. He figured out how you win when you're one-on-one left in dodgeball.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I think it was like two guys from the AFC versus five in the NFC. And they, like, slowly just picked off the five. And it came down to Jarvis Landry versus Graham Gano, I want to say is who it was.
Okay.
And so then Jarvis Landry
the
just
kicker?
Starts, like... Yeah.
Okay.
Who was actually super great in the kicking competition.
Okay.
Jarvis Landry just starts rolling the balls over to him. Like, just gave him all the balls. Because what does Jarvis Landry do? Is he catches balls for a living.
Oh.
Sure enough, Graham Gano throws it and he catches it. And it's like Graham Gano's out.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's much easier.
What a strategy.
Yeah, it's much easier to catch a ball than to throw one in dodgeball.
That's impressive.
I used to play a lot of dodgeball.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So quite a few weeks that we've missed here.
Yeah, quite a playoffs we've had, actually.
Yeah, it's super fun, so. Right? Like, very exciting games.
Yeah, not quite what anyone predicted, I don't think, either.
Yeah, the Eagles broke all of our bracket busters or whatever.
yeah, bracket busters, yeah. That was the Cinderella story. So, so let's talk about the teams that were in the playoffs. So, yeah. Let's talk about the first round, or the wild card losers.
Yeah, the Titans beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, the Chiefs went into the playoffs really expecting to do something, you know. They had the home game, they kind of played the Titans who kind of just slid in there. They'd already beat the Patriots earlier in the season. They had that rough stretch in the middle of the season, but it looked like they had gotten over it, and they were kind of getting back on track, so...
Everybody expected the Chiefs to win this game, and...
Yeah, it's really...
Be very competitive in the next one.
Yeah, definitely, Patriots. Yeah. You thought... I mean, if you're a Patriots fan, which you are, I would have sweated a little bit against the Chiefs, you know?
Obviously, we've already struggled before.
Yeah, I mean, having lost to someone before really hurts, but... Yeah, I imagine that Alex Smith doesn't feel great about that one. He wants that one back.
Yeah. Well, man, once he lost Travis Kelce, the whole thing.
Yeah, so.
Andy Reid is such a good coach, but playoffs are not his forte.
Yeah, that, so it's not looking good for Alex Smith in the future. So I don't think he's going to be a Chief next year.
I definitely don't think he'll be a Chief.
So.
Like, his salary cap hit would just kill them. So he's. Yeah,
so I'm interested. I know there's a lot of rumors of where he's going to go. I think that's, like, the big move. And another big thing I think the Chiefs were missing were just, like, Eric Berry, who was out the first of the year. Like, their defense kind of fell off after that anyway. But
yeah,
it would be nice to have him back for all year. But
yeah, it would be. I think the Jaguars and the Jaguars are really going after Alex Smith
and
Kirk Cousins. So.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool for them.
Yeah, it would.
But, so let's go on to the next team.
The L.A. Rams.
Rams, man, what a story of just so much talent that just broke out this year. You have new coach, you got Todd Gurley who's in his, like, what, third year now?
Yeah.
You got Jared Goff in his second year.
The defense, Aaron Donald, their defense and offense didn't play poorly in this game. It was the special teams that really screwed them in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you lose your all-star fantasy kicker, which, you know, I said to get this guy, but... You lose him, with 2 weeks left in the season, you pick up some random guy from I think he was dealing at a car lot or something, but, that didn't go so well for him. I mean, and honestly, it's not like the kicking game lost him in the playoffs, but...
No, it was the return game.
Yeah, they dropped, they had two fumbles in the... Yeah. Two fumbles in their kicking game, and one from a muff punt and one in the kickoff that he fumbled. So.
Yeah. And, you know, he'd done great all year.
Yeah, so, crazy, I mean, yeah, you can't fault him for that, but it's hard to overcome those types. I mean, when you think about it, they lost, what, 23-13, mm-hmm. and those two possessions, Atlanta got two field goals off of that, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you average up the amount of drives that the Rams had and how many points that they would score, you have to imagine they would have gotten at least 3 points off of one of those two drives.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a score that's like 16-19 now, or 16-17,
yeah.
and they were in field goal range at the end of the game. They just went for it on fourth
oh, they
to
had
get the
to,
touchdown.
Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, you're talking a whole different game if you just don't fumble on special teams.
yeah.
So. That's a rough way to go out. But, you know, that's playoff experience, and they hadn't had it before, so I'm sure it's going to help them in the future.
Speaking of rough ways to go out, the Buffalo Bills.
And what was probably the worst game in the playoffs?
Oh, yeah.
By far. The most least interesting, like, and it wasn't even just like, oh, two great defenses playing each other. It was just like the offenses were so inept. It was disaster.
Yeah, it's crazy how much better the Jaguars did the next week against the Steelers versus how they did against the Bills. Granted, the Bills are a tougher defense than the Steelers are. But what a way to go out is to lose your big man, Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, on the final drive of the game, what it turned out to be. And he got hit hard, too. Like, that was tough.
I'm trying to find the statistics on his final, Nathan Peterman's final play of the game, or his final game of the year. Let's see, I believe he had one fumble, one interception. Ah, I could look through this thing all day and probably not find it, but...
yeah, but, I mean, to be fair, though, the Bills... problem wasn't the quarterback in this game. It was the play calling. I think they ran, like, infinite number of just jet sweeps, like, all game, and Jacksonville was just destroying them. And, like, literally, if they got one first down in the drive, I think they thought it was a successful drive just to punt it back to Jacksonville.
Right.
But that game was just horrible. And both sides of the ball, really. Like, Blake Bortles had more rushing yards than passing yards in that game. So, like, I mean, if you're a Jacksonville fan... which we'll talk about later, like, going forward, you didn't feel great about this game. And the Bills, that was a rough way to go out. LeSean McCoy was banged up in the game, and he played hard. Like,
played through it.
There's just nothing you can do.
So. I was cheering for him in this one. I was cheering
for the Bills also, but they did send a bunch of wings to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You know, beat the Ravens to get them there.
Right,
so
we never really talked about that, which I'm sure every other podcast in New York has at this point.
Yeah. That was pretty awesome. So I'm glad the Bills got in there because they had a really good year this year, and their coach did everything that he could to stop them from getting to the playoffs, but they prevailed nonetheless.
Oh, the Saints beat the Panthers in the wild card round.
Yeah, I mean, imagine, like, the Panthers, probably one of the three best teams in the NFC going into the playoffs. It just happened to be third in their division, so you play against the Saints.
But they're second in their division.
They end up getting second, that's right. Well, I remember them losing to the Falcons, and then assumed that. Yeah, that's right. So, they were second in the division, but still probably the third best team in the
This was probably the best game of the wild card weekend.
Yeah, like I think it was.
It was kind of down to the wire as well.
Yeah, it kind of started off a little slow, and the Saints kind of had control of the game, but then there at the end, it's like every time we would, you know, breathe that sigh of relief, it's like Cam Newton drives back down the field. And then, you know, there's that play where we thought we knocked him out of the game, but then one play later, he's, like, back in there. It's crazy. So he did everything he could to, like, wreck us. But, you know, the defense came through. But
yeah.
So.
Speaking of Saints trying to breathe a sigh of relief, when we got to the wild card round.
Or the division round.
I'm sorry, yeah, the division round. Holy cow, what an ending to the...
Yeah, that was
back and forth. I can't even put my mind around that.
And
again.
What was by probably the best game in the playoffs in like the last 5 or 6 years? Even I can't think of a better playoff game than this. But this shows
I'd
like
since I've been watching football,
there's no quit. You know, and that was nice. You know, we were down 17-0, and we'll talk about another team who did quit after they were down 17-0. But you know, down 17-0 to come back and, you know, get the lead, and then, you know, you give up the field goal to have them come back, you drive down, get the field goal, 28 seconds left. I mean, you had a chance on 3rd-and-1 to get the first down to end that game, but, I mean, you know, the Vikings got a good rush defense, so they pulled it out, and then that final play, I have no words. I mean, you can't blame the guy. I mean, you can blame him, but, I mean, you know, he's a better player than that, so.
You're talking about the
Yeah, the rookie. No, Marcus Williams, he missed the,
No, I don't blame him
at all. He missed the tackle,
He's trying not to do pass interference.
Yeah, the worst thing that, that he'll ever do in his career, probably, so.
I was thinking, like, why didn't they have more people a little bit farther back in the field? But really, that was a pretty big throw. That was like a 30-yard throw.
Yeah, it was a 30-yard pass, and it was like, it wasn't even on the sideline. It was like a few yards away from the sideline, so like, everyone was in the right position to make the play. It just didn't happen, so. You know, it was a freak play. It was a miracle in Minnesota, they say, so. You gotta give them that. But, I mean, beating the Panthers in that first round, our defense came through, won that game. It was just, our defense was like 4 seconds short of the Minnesota game. And they played insane in that second half. I mean, they only gave up 2 field goals. And they had the interception that got us back in the game. Yeah. And Marcus Williams is the one who got the interception.
The guy, so
I think that the Saints were probably the best team left in the playoffs at that point when they lost. It was just a great way to go out. I mean, in the NFC. So.
In the NFC, I would agree. Yeah. Obviously, I feel like they're very close with the Vikings, especially given that game. I really thought the Saints were going to take the whole thing the full way.
Yeah.
Did not.
It's unfortunate. I lost $4,100.
$4,100. That was rough, yeah. but a beautiful story for Case Keenum.
Oh, yeah.
Until the next week.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
But the good thing for the Saints is that you beat out the Panthers and the Falcons for the year.
That's true. Yep, we got that going for us. We lasted longer than both.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're young. We're still young, so we just signed Drew Brees, and we'll be ready for next year.
Oh, you did?
When we signed Drew Brees, we'll be ready for next year.
Do you think you will, actually?
Well, both parties have said that they want to, like, they're going to, that Drew Brees is going to be there next year. So I think they have, like, a deal done. It's just not on paper yet. So.
Yeah.
I think that's where we're at. I think they're trying to figure out a way to get Drew Brees, like, a lower, like, kind of like a Tom Brady type salary where you're, like, you're not, like, the highest paid guy, but you're going to make some money.
Yeah.
So.
I feel like Brees would do it.
Yeah, I think he's ready for the hometown discount. I mean, he's 39. This is his last contract he's going to get, like.
How many years do you think he'll sign for?
I could see 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see. I mean, him and Tom Brady are in insane shape.
Yeah, like, they're both playing great.
I mean, you look at, like, Peyton Manning, you could see him start dropping off in those last few years. He just kind of didn't have it. And you sort of see the same thing. Drew Brees can't throw those, like, 50-yard bombs downfield anymore. But, like, when you're throwing 72% completion rating, you're doing something right. So.
I don't know if he can't do it or they're just changing the game plan.
No, I think he just, like, you know, in the Vikings game, there was that one interception when he was throwing it to Ted Ginn. He just couldn't get it to him.
Well,
so
it
just kind of got underthrown
a little bit. Right?
No, he had an empty pocket. It was just a little underthrown.
Oh, so. I might be thinking. So he can intercept it twice in that game?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so he got intercepted early in the game. No, that was his first interception. He was just throwing the bomb.
Yeah.
And then later on, it hit the guy's helmet.
It was just the
undercut, yeah.
Yeah.
When we were in. Yeah. I mean, also, if we don't have those interceptions in the first half, we probably win the game. Anyway, let's just move on.
Speaking of tipped off a helmet or a weird body part, the Falcons lose to the Eagles after a very bizarre knee tip.
Oh, yeah, Keanu Neal. Yeah, I don't know what was going on that play. Like,
I mean, he was
like, jumping up to catch the ball, but then he just, like, rose his knees up and, like, punted it to the guy. It was like, that's a touchdown. Like, that's all I've heard about that game, which is crazy because so much other stuff happened, but when you think about that, really could win you the game. Just that one play is crazy.
I do think that the Falcons wide receivers, running backs, and quarterback are better than the Eagles.
But the
Eagle line is just so good. Their defense is amazing. I can understand why the Eagles won, and I understand why they continue to win. And the crazy thing, well, we're not talking about the Eagles now. We'll talk about them later.
Yeah.
The Falcons, yeah. We got we got the same thing from the Falcons that we've gotten all year. It's just like a
like inconsistency. Roll of the dice. Yeah, kinda, like I mean, they played amazing versus the Rams.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, we talked about how like the Rams kind of fumbled a bit in their special teams game. Yeah. But
I mean, they played great against the Panthers.
Yeah,
the week before.
They've been in playoff mode for 4 weeks now, I guess,
there
or
had
something
to be, right?
Along that line. So, I mean, to come out. And they looked good in the first half. I mean, yeah, they only scored 10 points. And then they gave up that kind of late touchdown at the end of the half, which kind of sucked.
Yeah.
But they were still leading, what, 10-9 at half after the missed extra point.
Yeah.
Or it was 10-6 even, I think, right?
Oh, yeah.
Was it 10-6? Something. It was 10-6, 10-9 at the end of the half. And like, and you just come out so flat after the half. It's like, what happened? What happened to you? I don't understand how you can't score a field goal. Like, literally all you need in that game is like one field goal, and you could probably pull it out. So
I think
that's really disappointing.
I heard all week everybody was saying, like, all the Falcons really need to do is score 20 points here in this game, and they'll beat the Eagles easily.
Yeah, all they needed was 16 even. yeah, that was... man, that was rough. So, as a Saints fan, it was okay for me, but I would have liked to see the Falcons win that game, just because... I don't know. That's a rough way to lose. And they definitely looked like they would have been the better team.
A lot of Falcons fans are very anti-Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah.
His name. My God.
Sarkisian.
Sarkisian.
Yeah.
Like Parmesan. No.
No, not like Parmesan.
Parmesan. not a lot of happy Falcons fans over Steve S., but they're bringing him back.
Oh, yeah, and there's a lot of questionable calls that happen in that second half. When you look at those goal line plays, like, you have their third back, which their top two backs are, like, pretty good, Tevin Coleman and Freeman. They're pretty good, but you have your third back in there, and you run, like, a screen play to them, and it's just, like, off the mark. Like, Matt Ryan looks like he doesn't know what the play is.
Yeah.
So he's, like, looking in the end zone, and then he's like, oh, I'll just toss it to this guy. Like, he's an hour. No, that's the main player of the play. Like, you wanted to get it to that guy, and he runs in the end zone, but he does this, like, underhand toss to him. Like, he doesn't know what's going on. That guy doesn't even catch the ball. Like, it wouldn't have scored anyway, most likely. But still, it's like, do they not practice the plays the way they're meant to be run? Or it's like Matt Ryan looks at the play sheet. He's like, oh, these are the routes. I'll pick which one I want to throw to.
Yeah.
It's like, what? I don't know. There's a lot of questions. I think...
Like, just go out there and wing it, Matt.
Yeah, it's like, I think they... When you compare this year to the Kyle Shanahan first year, they're very, very similar.
That's true, right?
You get a lot of inconsistency in play. You get some weird, questionable calls. But it's like, are they the same, though, or are they just similar? That's what I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I guess we'll find out next year.
Yeah, I guess we will.
The Titans lose to the Patriots.
Yeah,
not a big surprise.
I mean, they got the first touchdown, and everyone was like, and then it was like, oh.
So, from what I've heard after the game, is that Mariota got hurt at some point. Like, pulled something and just wasn't the same, didn't have that mobility. That might just be, you know, coach talk or whatever.
Yeah, well, I don't remember Mariota playing on the Titans defense, so.
Yeah, well.
He played every offensive position, but maybe, I don't think he played any defensive positions.
Yeah, by third quarter, that game was over.
That's pretty. I mean, the Titans did good to beat the Chiefs. So could they had some insane plays in that game.
They got a little lucky in that game.
Yeah, that one's pretty good for them. But
the deflected pass back to Mariota,
and it didn't even save their coach's job.
Well, the coach apparently agreed mutually to part ways with the team.
He was not happy
the week before.
Oh yeah, exactly. They were like, "You got to win this game, or we're firing you." And he's like, and he still didn't feel confident that he was the Patriots. Like, they were still like, "Oh, you need to win this game."
Oh, did you hear him talk to the media like? It's not fair to my family, and it's not fair to me. And he knew he was quitting no matter what.
Yeah, that's a bad situation. So,
The Steelers lose to the Jaguars in one of the highest scoring games of playoff history.
with the Jaguars. With the Jaguars, the best defense in the league, and they were getting crushed in that game. It's crazy how much they just kept coming back in that second half.
Yeah. I mean, I was ready for the Steelers to take it over because they did it all year. They'd be trailing and then have this like miraculous five minute comeback. Always on Antonio Brown, and sure enough, that was the guy.
It's crazy how bad their kicker is at onside kicks, though.
Oh my God! Right? never try it. Never try it, Steelers.
And that was the one.
It's always an embarrassment.
And you know they had that touchdown, which they were, and then they were down 7 with like 2-ish. I think there was a little more than 2 minutes. They still had 3 timeouts left, and then they tried the onside kick there, which I thought was super strange. Like you kick it deep, you use your timeouts, you get the ball back. I think that's a pretty solid plan, but then they do the onside kick. The Jaguars get it, and they get the penalty because they didn't kick it but 5 yards. So they're already in field goal range. They kick the field goal, and what do you know? Jacksonville wins by 3 points. Like,
I think the Steelers literally had no faith in their defense
to get a stop. I mean, you have to at that point. Like,
yeah, but they just weren't doing it. Their defense was so bad in this game.
I think that was a very questionable call.
But Big Ben threw 5 touchdowns, threw for 469 yards in this game.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
That is insane. So, but I think Blake Bortles had a good game too, right? Like he threw for a lot.
No, not really.
I thought he threw for 300. And that was a beautiful touchdown, though. If you saw it,
it was. Yeah,
like the full they kind of fake the run, and the fullback kind of just runs the go route, and you just toss it right over him into the completely no one there. That was a nice touch on that one.
Yeah, Tommy Bohannon?
That was a good catch.
Yeah.
But Leonard Fournette went off.
Yeah, he did. 3 touchdowns, 109 yards.
So, but yeah, what are you going to do if you're the Steelers? What a way to go. Like, definitely most people's Super Bowl pick, I think, at the beginning of the year for sure. Like, it was either them or the Patriots, so.
Yeah, definitely.
To lose to the Jaguars like that. That was a rough way to go out of the first round, so.
I mean, I think there's no shame in losing to this year's Jaguars, especially in the playoffs, because they played amazing in this game.
Yeah, they did. They played insane in this game.
The only shame is what comes from some of the comments from the Steelers players beforehand.
When they were talking about beating the Patriots.
Breeze right through them.
Which I thought was hilarious.
It was kind of funny. Like,
it was hilarious that the Jacksonville beat them, and then Jacksonville was like, yeah, they totally overlooked us. Assholes.
I have a Vegas bet on the Steelers in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I was still cheering for the Jaguars because of the comments from the Steelers earlier. I was like, wait, I'm going to lose money if I do this.
Never overlook anyone in the NFL.
Yeah.
Ask the Chiefs.
Speaking of those bets, we had bets on the Saints, Steelers, and Falcons that all lost out in the division
round. Yeah, that was tough. That was a
lot
tough
of money
week.
Down the drain there. Then we move on to the Championship weekend. The Jaguars took on the Patriots, and the Vikings took on the Eagles. Which one do you want to hit first?
Let's talk about the Jaguars. Basically, it felt like they were winning that game. It felt like
really
the Falcons versus the Patriots at the Super Bowl last year. That's how that game flow was going. Like, Jacksonville was up by 10 with, 10 minutes to go. Like,
this game was so intense.
Felt pretty good. Like, you had Jacksonville's defense, they were stopping Tom Brady all game.
Yeah, they were. Man, it was, as a Patriots fan, this was the most nerve-wracking game of the entire season. Like, there was the Steelers one, where we had that, super last-minute comeback, but this was the one that was so intense.
Yeah, it was just straight. It was like they just, turned it on, and then it was Jacksonville's defense was like the Browns' defense, or, someone even worse than that. But
I couldn't sit down during the entire second half. I was just standing there watching it. One thing that the Patriots are great at is halftime adjustments, and I think that's what they did with the defense, at least.
Yeah.
Our defense just started stopping them, which the entire first half is just like, oh, you're going this way? Let me just hold the door open for you.
Right, yeah. Like, Jacksonville had those 2 drives back-to-back where they scored touchdowns, and then after that, it was just like, they couldn't do anything.
At one point, I remember, it was one of the Leonard Fournette touchdowns. I think they're at, the 3-yard line
three
or so.
Yeah, 3 or 4.
And I want to say it's, first down or second down, and my wife is just going nuts. And I'm like, don't worry, we're actually pretty good in the the goal line stands. And then he just runs directly through the middle,
right into the end zone.
Through 4 of our guys. He just takes them with him all the way into the end zone. I was like, well, usually we're pretty good.
Oh, it's crazy because in the next drive they get the 4 again, and then they throw it for a touchdown.
Yeah.
That was so Jacksonville had a pretty good playoff run, though. They so got to go. That, you know, they dominate their division this year.
Yeah.
They said they lose twice to the Titans. Crazy.
I don't think they really tried that.
Yeah, they did 17. That last week. They probably didn't try as much. But you play awful against the Bills. So everyone's like, Jacksonville is garbage. Like, they're not ever. They have no chance versus the Steelers.
Yeah.
And you go in there and you show.
Where the Steelers got so cocky.
Yeah. They show the Steelers what's up, man. They punched them in the mouth and kept going.
Yeah, they did.
And they gave the Patriots a good punch in the mouth. The Patriots didn't fall down.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get knocked out. So, that's a tough way to go out. I'm sure they're going to have a very bitter taste in their mouth.
Yeah, they are.
Just like the Falcons did from last year.
Yes, they definitely are. I've already seen it. The Vikings, after the miracle in Minnesota.
Oh, man.
They go to Philadelphia and...
lay an egg.
Yeah.
They go down the field in the first drive and score touchdowns. Like, oh, this game is over. They're just about to crush them. Got all the confidence. Their defense is going to be playing good. And what do you know? Case Keenum shows up and just delivers a touchdown to the Eagles. It changes everything.
They just couldn't get past this Eagles defense. Like that.
Yeah. They definitely tightened up after that first touchdown drive. They tightened up, and it was nothing.
Yeah.
It was just nothing for them.
I don't think they ever scored again, right?
No, they never scored again.
38 unanswered points.
The Eagles got up 24-17. They got up 17, and then what do you know? The Vikings completely lay an egg in the second half.
And I think we all thought, like, when the Eagles are going to win. I'm going to the Eagles again. I still don't know what the Vikings did wrong in this game versus the other ones.
Jerick McKinnon
was their star offensive player.
Yeah, it's just weird when the week before, like, you see how the Saints came back out after halftime. And, like, they pull it together, they tighten up, it's really like the Vikings, like, knew they had lost. When halftime started.
It almost felt like that. They didn't care.
Like, they were like, we were supposed to win this game after the first, and then Case Keenum throws an interception, and everyone just, like, loses faith in everybody on the team. So,
yeah.
Even the defense couldn't do anything after that, like.
If only you had two other good quarterbacks you could have put in.
Yeah, right. So.
I really liked Case Keenum all year.
Like, I mean, they had a great run. The Saints game still. And amazing. I mean, they go up 17-0.5, so it's like they deserve to win that game because you go on 17-0 anybody, you probably should win.
Yeah.
But man, just the way you go out against the Eagles. And an Eagles team, by the way, who doesn't have like their MVP caliber quarterback. It's like everyone expected them to lose to the Falcons. Everyone picked Minnesota to beat the Eagles. Like, and you just lay an egg like that.
Adam
I guess
Thielen.
The Vikings are rooting for the Falcons too.
Adam Thielen scored got 28 yards in this game. That might be his lowest of the entire year.
I think we shut him down pretty well too. In the same, I mean, I think he had more than 28. I don't think he had a whole lot in this game either.
Adam Thielen got 74.
But yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's all right.
So.
So, moving on to the Super Bowl matchup, we have the Patriots versus the Eagles.
Yeah, one of these. I mean, honestly, if you go back to, like, week 15, this isn't that big of a surprise. Right before Wentz gets hurt,
before
it's like,
Wentz,
okay, these are the two best teams. They've been rolling all year. But now, what a turn.
I was thinking that their season was completely over when Wentz went down. Like, yeah, you're going to get to the playoffs. Well, I think they already had playoffs.
Yeah, they had already basically locked it up.
Yeah, right, one more win, they clinched the number one spot. I think this showed us how clear it is that this is such a well-rounded team. It's not the quarterback, it's not the running backs. I don't think they could lose any singular member of their team at this point and have an issue. Maybe Nick Foles, because then they'd be on their third string.
If you lose TV before the quarterback.
Yeah, maybe that's the only person they could. But everybody else, my God. Like, they're just playing so well. They are playing very similar to the Vikings have been playing all year.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
Vikings ravaged by injuries, and they just kept chugging along, almost got better. That being said, I do believe... Nick Foles will have some issues against the Patriots' defense. Just because of what I mentioned earlier, that the Patriots do such a good job of halftime and in-game adjustments on their defense, and I think they'll expose that Nick Foles flaw.
Right, kind of like the Eagles did to Case Keenum.
Exactly.
And, you know, and what's amazing is Foles didn't have a great game versus the Eagles, I don't think. Like, he wasn't, like, out. I know he was really good against the Vikings had a great game. I'm talking about the Falcons, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he had that great of a game versus the Falcons. But I think that Vikings game, I think that put some confidence in him. I think he decided he was going to start trying to throw the ball and win the game in that one. Like, and that's a good defense for the Vikings.
They're pretty lucky, actually, because clearly the Vikings had somewhat given up in the third quarter. They're kind of lucky that they can, like, really start pumping some confidence in, like, hey, let's start having you throw it long. Like, if they get an interception, we're up by 31 points. We'll be all right.
No, I think that game really helped Nick Foles out a lot, just like,
yeah.
Because at this point, do you really say, hey, Nick Foles, are we going to make Nick Foles beat us? Like, well, he can do it, because he literally just did it.
Yeah.
So, and it really makes it hard to game plan against the Eagles, so.
It's a big
they're super well-rounded, and their front seven and their defense is
my God,
so good.
Right? Yeah. That's the scariest part for me as a Patriots fan. Is
I know they've said it a million times, but that's kind of how you beat the Patriots.
It is.
I mean, look at what the Giants did.
Yep.
So, I mean, look at what Seattle did. They should have won the game. Look at what the Falcons did in that first three quarters.
Yeah.
All of them had, like...
We'll have a lot of quick passes, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I think the Eagles are built to kind of defend that kind of situation. Like, you still worry about the Gronk, like, well, who's going to match him on Gronk, but if anyone... I have a lot of faith in the Eagles.
Yeah.
So.
Well, speaking of Gronk, we don't even know if he's playing yet.
That's true. Yeah, let's talk about the Patriots some.
Yeah, so the Patriots are down, obviously, Edelman, Hightower.
Yeah, all of their regular season injuries.
Yeah, we've suffered a couple on special teams, and then, again, from the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
God, they need Gronk in this game.
Absolutely.
It doesn't feel like Chris Hogan's at full health.
Yeah, it does. He hasn't done really anything in the playoffs.
Yeah,
ever since he
came back from his injury, he's not been.
Amendola, though, he's been pretty insane in the playoffs.
Danny playoff Amendola?
is that what they're calling him now?
Yeah, that's what they call him in the press conferences now. I get, you know, most of their running backs are also catching running backs, so that'll probably play into it. You know, we got Deion Lewis.
Yeah, they've had almost no rush. Like, I don't even know if they've run for very much against the Titans, even, in the blowout.
Yeah, I don't know if they did. I know they ran a lot against the Jaguars at the end, just to kind of kill the game, but it looks like against the Titans... Oh, they actually did have quite a few.
I'm saying, like, being productive. I don't think they've been productive in the run game all year. I mean, all playoffs. I know they've had some stints in the regular season where they were okay, but I think that's a flaw that you can look at as if you're the Eagles' defense. Like, hey, these guys can't really run the ball. Maybe we put seven in the box and blitz more.
It'll be interesting to see if Gillisley is activated for the game.
I find it hard to believe that he would be in the game.
I don't know. I can see it for this one.
Especially after, like, the last six... Well, he hasn't... been active
for a long time. He's healthy. Burkhead, I think he had one snap last game.
Yeah.
Surely he'll be a lot more integrated into this game. But.
Yeah, and you get 2 weeks to get healthy, so that's really good for Gronk.
That's huge.
Who looked like he had a pretty serious concussion there.
Oh my God, that looked terrible.
We'll see how that goes.
I don't think it was intentional at all.
Oh, no. It's just kind of running into each other kind of thing.
Yeah. You want to talk about some Super Bowl predictions?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's start off easy. Who do you think is going to win?
Let's end with that.
All right.
Yeah, let's get there at the end. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the real
stuff.
Let's
make them listen to this part before we get to our...
That's a little tease.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the real meat of it then. How long will the national anthem be?
Do we know who's singing the national
anthem? We do. Pink.
Pink singing it?
Yeah.
I can see Pink hitting some high notes and stretching out a little bit. What's the over?
Over or under 2 minutes? I'm sorry, no. It's a 202, actually.
Oh, is it 2-2?
Yes.
I don't think that makes that much of a difference. Oh, but good. Who knows? I'm going to say over. I feel like they like to go over. Unless it's like 2:30. I really just wish I knew what the average of a normal
I looked it up.
Song.
It's 158.
150? Oh, definitely over.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
No, 158 is the average for the Super Bowl.
Oh, time. For the Super Bowl?
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. I'm still going to go... I'm going to go under.
Really?
I think Pink's conservative, yeah. I'll go under.
I'm going to go over, actually. I think that she wants to milk it a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I'll give you my logic behind that.
Okay.
Pink is a diehard Eagles fan.
So she doesn't want the game to start.
No. No, but she's going to be, like, so proud of the effort.
That's
she wants
true,
to, like,
yeah.
really nail this
like,
thing.
Like, she wants to really soak it in.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That's cool. All right, I can buy that. But I'm curious. We'll have to... Obviously, we don't have that right now. But I wonder what, like, the normal... Like, if you played it on a CD...
Yeah.
I wonder how long the song is.
Yeah, I'll look it up real quick. 20 seconds.
Wow. Solid.
Let's see. Will Pink... the diehard Eagle fan, mention the Eagles before, during, or after the anthem.
She will not
I agree.
Mention at all.
I could see her maybe having something Eagle-related on, like a little pin or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I do not think
she'll she won't say it.
Though. I do not think she'll verbally say anything. Like,
right,
fly,
yeah. I think when, especially when you're doing the anthem, it's like a really professional...
Yeah, and she seems like she's, very... Yeah. You know, she's got it together.
Although, there is that... There's a little bit where you're just like... You know, you end the Brave, and you're like, go Eagles, you know.
Right?
Get
them
in there.
Yeah, when everybody's cheering, you know.
Yeah.
Like, go Eagles, Eagles fans are kind of...
They're kind of...
They don't play by the rules.
Yeah, they don't, yeah, so... But who knows? But yeah, I'm going to say that.
Will Pink throw batteries at other fans? No.
If she has some on her.
Take them out of the microphone after she's done. What will Pink's hair color be? Your options are pink or red, white or blonde... Brown or black, purple or blue, green or other.
Well, it's definitely not going to be blue or purple, because Eagles would give her shit for
true,
that.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
I think it's going to be pink, red, or green. I'm going to go with green.
Oh,
this seems like a fun.
Oh, that'd be a good.
That'd
yeah,
be
for
a
the
fun.
Eagles?
Yeah, that'd be a fun change.
I think she's going to go white or blonde.
You think so? Just average.
Normal. Yeah. Yeah.
I could also say pink, but probably not. Probably green or white or blonde, yeah.
Oh, I like that green one, though.
The green one, that would be fun.
The Eagles, that's a good
I mean,
one.
She could do like a green-silver kind of thing, you know, get really hyped into it. Anyway.
I wonder if I still have the odds on that. Let's see. Green pays out a lot.
Yeah, that'd be a fun one.
It pays out
day.
The most, actually. Wow. Yeah, that'd be a good one to make.
Plus 500.
Who will be the first quarterback shown during the national anthem? Will it be Tom Brady, Nick Foles, Carson Wentz, Brian Hoyer, or Sudfeld?
Who is probably the backup,
to
Foles?
To Hoyer,
I'm surprised Jimmy Garoppolo isn't on this.
Oh my!
They just show him
at home
watching.
He's like
rooting for the Patriots so he can get his $112,000 or whatever.
Yeah. He's sitting there on the couch, like in his underwear. They show him, looking around
like,
his house.
Where's this
like...
camera come from? Anyway, I say they show Nick Foles first.
Really? Oh,
I think
it's
they show
definitely
Nick Foles.
Tom Brady.
I think they show Nick. I think they end with Tom Brady. I think they finish the anthem and they show Tom Brady.
No, I think
and you know, I don't. I think they show Wentz, maybe, but they definitely don't show any other ones.
I don't even think Foles is going to be the first Eagles player they show during the national anthem.
Oh, no. I think they start with, like, the Eagles side.
Yeah.
And they'll show, like, Fletcher Cox and some other... And then they'll show Nick Foles, and then they'll go over to the Patriots and, like, show Tom Brady at the end.
But we're still talking about a, like a close-up with Foles, right?
Right, yeah. Like they do, like, the undershot or whatever.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
They might not even show Nick Foles at all. I'd be surprised anyway.
Yeah, the exact... Going back, it was 1 minute... 58.6 seconds exact average
of the last 12.
Which
did include. Yeah. Never mind.
That's kind
she
of
did
important.
The halftime show.
Yeah. who will be the first team to score?
I am 100% on the Eagles on this one.
I agree.
I don't know. I'm pretty confident it'll be a field goal, but who knows? They might get a touchdown in there.
Yeah, I definitely agree it'll be the Eagles.
I mean, the Patriots don't have a record of scoring very often in the first half of Super Bowls.
So,
or at least the first quarter.
Brady and Belichick have been to
eight. This is their eighth
Super
one.
Bowls.
So seven.
But it's seven of the Super Bowls have never scored in the first quarter of the Super Bowl. So let's ride history on that
this
one.
This is their halfway of a regular season mark in just Super Bowl appearances.
Yes.
Oh my God.
How many times will Carson Wentz be mentioned during the broadcast? Over, or is it three or less, or four or more?
I'm going to say, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
I'm going to say like, four or more.
Yeah, I agree. Because like, if the Eagles are winning a lot, I could see them mentioning, like, you know, Nick Foles did it after Carson Wentz went out.
Yeah.
Or, like, if they're losing,
same thing,
to imagine what they'd be doing with Carson
Wentz.
Or
if it's a close game.
Yeah.
Or if Tom Brady won the MVP, they might mention Carson Wentz being their
MVP
true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely over, I think.
Yeah,
definitely. Man, how much could we put on this? So over. So if we'd have to bet 150 to get 100.
Yeah. Oh yeah, everyone thinks over.
Yeah, they should have done 4.5. All right. How many times will Giselle be mentioned during the broadcast?
Ooh, I'm gonna say it's over under one point five. So
yeah.
I'm gonna say under. I feel like I don't ever really hear their wives being mentioned very much.
Yeah,
I mean,
but,
I know she's
so
kind
she
of a figurehead, but
she wants him to retire. She has to.
I'd be surprised if they brought that up more than one time.
I could see them showing her more than once in the stands.
Yeah,
I don't think
they're
going to mention her name more than
maybe.
Once, though. I'm going under. I go under.
I could see her showing them one time, but
last year they showed her twice.
Ooh, thank goodness.
They always show her cheering when they win. So. How many times will Janet Jackson be mentioned?
I'm going to say zero.
Zero.
NFL wants nothing to do with Janet Jackson.
The over-under is 1.5.
Yeah.
You're going with zero.
I want absolutely zero.
I was actually going the other way with this until we talked about it beforehand, and you mentioned that logic.
The NFL,
they don't want to talk about her. Yeah,
they want no. They barely want Justin Timberlake in the Super Bowl halftime show. They want no part of this.
You know, this is his third halftime show he's done.
Yeah, I think I heard that. Yeah. And what's crazy is in that Super Bowl when him and Janet Jackson were the halftime show, NSYNC was supposed to be the halftime show of the Pro Bowl the next week, because this is when the Pro Bowl was after the Super Bowl,
God,
and they
really?
Canceled them.
Wow.
And then they got someone else to do it. And then they got really conservative after Super Bowls after that and got a whole bunch of old guys.
So he played in the, obviously the 2000, so he's playing in this one, right? 2018?
Right.
He played in the 2004 one. Right.
That was the one.
The Janet Jackson one.
Right.
And then the 2001 one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that one was with NSYNC?
Yes. NSYNC, okay. Britney Spears, Aerosmith.
Ah, okay.
Which,
That was the Ravens and the Giants.
Yeah.
The game that everyone forgets
about. Oh, I was thinking, man, it would have been so nice if it was 2002, actually. Then all Patriots Super Bowls. What? Oh! Here's a fun one. How many times will the Rocky statue in Philadelphia be shown during the broadcast?
I think that's like an old cliche that no one really cares about. I mean, I'm just saying none.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know why they'd show something in Philadelphia.
Especially they're the number one seed. Yeah, and they're in Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah.
Yeah, that would be. I mean, I could see them maybe showing it, but pretty unlikely.
Why?
I mean, like, oh, the underdog story, and they show Rocky because, like, Philadelphia is up, like, 38-7 or something, but I find that pretty hard to believe.
So when they say during the broadcast, we're talking about, like...
Like, you know, when they show the random
kickoff,
shots. Right? Yeah, from kickoff.
Yeah. I don't think they'll show it.
Yeah.
What color will the Gatorade be? Lime green, yellow? Orange? Red? Clear water? Blue or purple?
I'm gonna go with the, I think it's either gonna be the, like, the lime green yellowish or the white, just because that's the one so often.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to see, like, purple Gatorade.
Yeah.
Just like you're on Minnesota's home
field. Oh,
like,
that would be
so cool.
Pouring
purple Gatorade on them. It's like, it's like all the Minnesota fans that couldn't sell their Super Bowl tickets in time were like, that could have been us!
I didn't even realize we had this stat, but in the past 11 Super Bowls. It has been 15. Yellow twice, orange four times, clear four times, purple four times, and blue once. What's crazy is purple gives you the best payout.
I feel like purple, what is it, grape? Is that the Gatorade color for purple?
That makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I'd want to be drinking grape Gatorade during the game.
I'm going to go with orange. I like orange.
Yeah, orange is a good one. I like orange, but I'm going with a final decision. I'm going clear.
Clear.
Just the boring.
Bold. Bold.
Yeah. Shocker. Someone's got to stand out in the crowd in this tied with four each. Anyway.
Will anybody except for Tom Brady and Nick Foles take a snap in the game?
Well, see, this is a really strange one because I'm like, do punters and holders not count? But we'll just assume they don't.
Right.
But I'm going to say yes. There will be a wildcat formation, and it will be the Eagles snapping it directly to J.J. at some point. Or LeGarrette Blount. Either one of those. I could see it.
I don't know if I've ever seen
Danny Amendola, maybe he gets a direct snap, and he throws it to Tom Brady in the fade route, and he gets a touchdown.
I don't think I've ever seen LeGarrette Blount take a snap, though. But I can see it. I can see it. Yeah. I agree. I agree with you on that one. Do you think another quarterback will take a snap?
No.
I hope
not. I don't want to see their quarterback.
Yeah, I don't either. Okay. Will there be an onside kick?
No. I don't think so.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You think so?
I think we're going to get in some weird territory and some team's going to get desperate.
At this point, this is how I would imagine an onside kick going. You have, like, the Patriots are up by two scores, Philly scores like a 30 seconds to go, and then you get an onside kick. But yeah. I just find it so hard to believe that Philly would score at that point. If they're down two scores, I just don't think they'll score. I think they're just not good enough for it now.
Oh, you got to keep trying, though, right?
Yeah, no, you definitely do. I just don't see that.
You don't think they'll ever
I don't
score.
Even think they'll get to the score to get to one possession or whatever, so...
I'm really hoping one of these teams uses the Steelers playbook for that onside kick.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. I like that onside kick. Honestly though, I want to see someone have the balls and kick an onside kick to start the game or start the second half, the Saints did back in the day.
Yes.
That's a ballsy call right there. Belichick won't do it, but
onside kick every kick of the game.
Just every hey, you're gonna get one of them.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, you gotta eventually score to do another kick.
That's true. Yeah, you get two chances. Or you get one chance.
Yeah. Anyway. How many times will Tom Brady's age be mentioned? The over-under is 5.
I definitely think it gets mentioned, but I'm gonna say, the 3 to 4 range.
Yeah?
Somewhere like that. I don't think it's a lot.
I think it's gonna be over.
You think that you're gonna mention a lot? Because
he's gonna be, if he wins, he'll be the oldest quarterback to ever
win a Super Bowl.
So, so I could easily see them saying it as he comes in, and then if he wins, says, there's two alone, and then I could see him saying it throughout the game as well.
Yeah. We'll see. 5 is a lot.
If it was, so Mary.
And the Patriots have to be winning, otherwise they're going to be talking about the Eagles and them winning. But, the odds of them winning are pretty good, I guess.
I think so. Will there be a flea flicker?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say yes. Patriots love those flea flickers in the playoff games.
Yeah. I feel like the defenses are good enough to, respect that, so...
Yeah. Who will be the last team to score, the Patriots or the Eagles?
I think... Ooh, that's a tough one. I think the Patriots are the last ones to score.
I agree. Off that onside kick that the Eagles kick.
Yeah, they're going to run it back.
Will the Eagles score more or less than 21 points?
The Eagles will score more than 21 points, but not much more.
I agree. Will the Patriots score more or less than 27 points?
I'll say they score less than 27 points.
Ooh. I'm going to say they score more.
All right.
I'm seeing a high-scoring game between these two top 5 defenses.
All right, now finally, the moment we've been waiting for.
Yes.
Who wins the game from the Patriots fan? We'll start with you first because it seems more obvious.
I'm going to do a hot take here.
Hot take.
Patriots win a Super Bowl.
Just one. They can only win one at a time. So this will be their 6-1 in 8 attempts?
Yeah.
And eight or the six.
Those two. In late 2000s.
Eli Manning. All right. I have zero faith in the Eagles since the playoffs started. Yeah. But they got through the birds. They beat the Falcons and win a game that no one thought they'd win. Mm-hmm. Then they beat the Vikings to keep the streak of home teams against dome teams when dome teams are on the road in championship games. They're 0-13 now when they beat the Vikings. Now they're going into Minnesota, and now they're going to beat the Patriots and put an end to this dynasty for now.
You know, I mean, an interesting thought on that is that by them beating the Patriots would be the way they don't end the dynasty. Because I could see Tom Brady retiring after this one if they win. If they don't win, he's not retiring.
No, this is that article in ESPN was true, man.
Oh, you think that they would split ways?
No, I'm kidding. But no. I'm picking the Eagles in this. I think like they've overcome every single. Like,
they've been super impressive. Yeah.
So I'm putting my faith in the Eagles. I'm willing to do a fire bet, 2-1, obviously.
I get two?
Yeah, you take two shots, I'll take one shot.
Oh, no.
Why? What? Come on.
It's a 4.5 swing.
All right, what about 3-2?
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, I'll take that. All right.
We're going to make sure we get plenty liquored up. although, I do, so, from what I've seen and heard, like, if the Patriots win, this could be the end of Brady's career. So there is a silver lining, if the Eagles win, that we get more years of Brady. So I'm preparing for the worst, and I've got that going for me. But I mean, obviously, I'll be cheering for the Patriots.
And then the rest of the world will be cheering for the Eagles.
I'm surprised how many people I've talked to who are cheering for the Patriots, actually, because I could see
people. It was weird when we were having the discussion with people.
Yeah, it's like, wow, thank you. Like, I didn't think we'd have anybody. I saw a map today. North Dakota?
Oh, yeah. I was just about to mention that. You know what's super crazy about that is Carson Wentz went to school at North Dakota State. So I was like, wait a second.
He must be a dick.
I was like, what? What happened? Did he leave college his junior year? And they were like, we could have won a national championship. No.
In Dallas. The city of Dallas.
Just the city district, of Dallas. Oh, no, yeah. I can't imagine. That would be like the Saints rooting for the Falcons last year. It's not going to happen.
A couple of, like, people in the New York area. The people who hate the Eagles, basically. Yeah.
I mean, you had to really hate the Eagles to root for the Patriots.
I'm surprised, actually, after hearing a lot of the stories from the Vikings fans who went to Philadelphia. I'm surprised the Vikings fans aren't on our side.
Yeah,
a bad experience. Yeah.
But I think, like, it's weird because a lot of, like, fans kind of do the negative. But then a whole bunch of Eagles fans donated to Mike Zimmer's, like, donation or his trust fund thing. Cause similar to what's been going on with the playoffs.
Oh, I saw that, this week after they won.
Yeah, the Eagles were, like, apologizing for the Eagles
fans. It's the fans who are going to Minnesota now.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we need to...
cover our asses. Yeah.
So a lot of good donation things have happened through playoffs, which has been pretty cool. Like, the Bills donating... No, it started with J.J. Watt with Houston. That was during the regular season.
Walter Payton.
I would be surprised.
Yeah.
And then you have all the Bills fans donating to, you know, Andy Dalton's fund. Then you got all the Minnesota fans donating to Thomas Morerstedt's fund for him being a good sport. And then you got Eagles donating to Minnesota. And then you realize AFC are just kind of assholes, except for the Bills. They don't donate to anybody. No, it's good.
But J.J. Watt?
Oh, well, no, yeah.
Show me your $36 million donation.
That's true.
So, next week, prior to the Super Bowl, we'll be recording a podcast. We probably won't have it out till after the Super Bowl, but we're doing the recap of all the fire bets of the year.
Yep.
So we're going to get pretty liquored up.
Yeah, that should be fun.
Oh, yeah.
So we might have some guest appearances, maybe, hopefully. Oh. Cross our fingers, we'll convince them.
Yeah, we're throwing a big Super Bowl party, so I'm going to make sure some of these people come in.
Yeah, we're going to kick them out if they don't, they don't get on the podcast. So look forward to that. That'll be in a week.
Yeah, that's where we do. The fire bets are where we bet on things throughout the podcast, throughout the year.
Yep.
Everyone we got wrong, we take a shot of Fireball.
It looks like we're going to need a couple bottles of Fireball.
Yeah, we're going to need a lot of Fireball.
Luckily, I took that Monday off. So.
Perfect. I should probably take that Monday off. So, until next time, for Definitely Something About Football,
I'm Jay Hump.
And this is Rob. We'll see you next time. Yep.